Today we are discussing RNIB's Living with Sight Loss courses. They are designed to help those on the sight loss journey get their lives back on track. We'll speak with Mohammed, who attended one of the courses and is now a volunteer. Before that, though, to learn a little bit more, we have with us Ben Gavin from RNIB. Ben, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
So tell me a little bit about the courses themselves, Ben. Are they relatively new?
Well, the courses have been running for about 3 years now, but they do evolve as they go along because we're always learning from the courses and trying to make sure that the content is as suitable as they can be for people with sight loss. So we are constantly learning and trying to make the courses as valuable an experience as possible for people that take part in them.
They are designed to give a lot of help and support to people going through sight loss. So what kind of things could people expect if they were to attend the course?
Okay, so the courses are primarily information courses that help to build up people's confidence in their everyday lives. So we look at various different topics in the courses. So these can vary from tips and gadgets for everyday living, assistive technology. So that's looking at tablets and phones. We look at eye health, well-being, leisure, hobbies and interests, and welfare rights as well. So we try to cover a wide range of different topics. We have different practitioners that come in who talk on those various different themes.
What about the emotional side of things? Because we can talk a lot about the practicalities and all the help and support that's there, but it must be a bit of an emotional roller coaster for people coming to terms with losing their sight.
Yes, I mean, when people come onto the courses, they can sometimes be fairly newly diagnosed with sight loss. So obviously, they're in quite an emotional state. But when they come onto the courses, we give them as much information as they would like, and they can take part in the course as much as they would like, or they can just sit back and listen. It's completely up to them. But we like to make sure that the information is there and available to them. On the courses, we can have lots of peer-to-peer support as well. So there's lots of people with different experiences that are always willing to support and share and give their insight into their condition and give some advice.
It's great you have professionals there to talk to people, but you mentioned the peer-to-peer support there. So do you think, from looking back at some of the courses, that the attendees find it easier to relate to those people that are chatting to them because they've gone through it themselves? You know, they've lost their sight and they've come through the other side.
Yes, I mean, a lot of the people that come onto the course, obviously they've all got the shared experience of losing one's sight, even though they may all have different eye conditions. The circumstances that they find them in can be quite similar. So there is a lot of peer-to-peer support. There's a lot of understanding and just support for one another, which can grow quite rapidly throughout the course. And by the end of the course, many people have made friends and they stay in touch with each other as well. So there's a great sustainability to the course. You meet people and hopefully you can, if you wish, stay in touch with them. And any social isolation that you may have been experiencing before the course will hopefully be eradicated.
How long do the courses last?
The courses vary. We have two-day courses which run one day a week. So, for example, say maybe two Thursdays in a row. Or we have four-day courses, again, running one day a week on four occasions. We also have Living with Sight Loss phone groups. And they're a relatively new service that we're offering, which lasts for four sessions, and they're much shorter in duration, lasting around 45 minutes. But it's ideal for people that can't attend the course for whatever reason, but wish to get the information that a Living with Sight Loss course would provide.
That's great if they can, as you say, make it physically to a location to take part. There is that option. Now, what if people require further support from RNIB or perhaps signposting to other organisations? Is that something which the course can help with as well?
It certainly does, yes. I mean, when a course is taking place, many times something will come up, a subject will be raised, and the practitioner is able to then signpost or refer somebody onto the relevant department in the RNIB that can help them. So it's always different, but somebody might bring something up and we can immediately give them the right department to contact, or we can make the referral ourselves. We also have RNIB Connect, which, as the title would suggest, can keep people connected with their local society, with their we try to keep people in contact and connected as the course is going and beyond the course as well.
Also joining us, we have with us Mohammed Suleiman, who has been on the Living with Sight Loss courses and is now also a volunteer, or Binny, as he's known to his friends. Tell me a little bit about your experience of the course, Binny. What brought you to it?
I recall about 18 months ago, and I think it was in October when I was diagnosed with glaucoma. And then when I got the test done and they registered me, from that point, my world went upside down because I didn't know where to go. My mind was all over the place. And then Mary, she was really fantastic, gave me all the information for RNIB, and she recommended me to go to this course. So I had no hesitation to go there. And I met the course coordinator, Lee Pick, which she is absolutely amazing, inspiration to everyone, to be honest, because she has got eyesight problems. So to me, that was hard to relate. But the way she set up the course and meeting people who are in the same boat. But what I could see was I was like the youngest. So I went to the course, got the information. Lee set an agenda out, talking how I feel and everything like that. But at that time, I was like, what am I doing here? I didn't fit in for some reason. It was an ego thing. I really don't know. I still can't answer that question. And then a couple of days later, I phoned Lee Pick and I said, it's good. All the information is absolutely fantastic, but what am I doing here? I feel like I'm useless and feel that way. She goes, give it time because it's new to you. So I went to the next course. Then I started getting some more interactions with all the people and their knowledge and how they cope. And, you know, the mental side of it, the physical side of it, it's been horrendous for myself. So the course really, really, really helped me in terms of dealing with it. I'm still finding it difficult to accept.
You've obviously come some way, Binny, since being on the course. But, you know, going back to that diagnosis, you know, some people describe it as a bit of a bombshell hitting them. You know, they're stunned almost. Was that something which you went through?
When I was a teenager, it was affecting me. You know, my education, my sports and everything. But I was in denial. I'm not accepting it. I had tears when I was signing the reform. You know, you can't drive, it's on my car. Outside, I may be like, wow, I'm doing it, but inside, it's killing me.
When my sight finally went, Binny, I know I can absolutely relate to what you said. You know, I knew it was going to happen for years, I knew it was going to happen. And you kind of prepared a little bit, but when it actually does, I don't think anything can really prepare you for it. And it tends to be down to you as an individual as to how you cope with it, but you went for help and support. You know, you actively looked for it, you went to the courses. And, you know, I still get times where there are things I used to do and I can't. And even though, you know, I lost my sight 18 years ago, it still nags at you a bit. But I think sometimes you just have to tell yourself, well, look, this is the way it is. It's not going to change. But, you know, there's lots that you still can do. There's still lots of help and support out there. You just have to get on with it almost.
Eventually my sight will go. I've actually tested myself what I can do, what I can't do. I scrape my hand, fall over. It's difficult to cope mentally because I don't think people understand what you're going through. But I have got support, like, you know, the RNIB. I can pick up the phone, like yourselves, on radio. I can talk about my experiences. It gets emotional, but that's what it's all about because you talk from your heart and you experience what you experience and tell everyone how you cope with it.
You can learn how to use, you know, assistive technology, and you can retrain for education, employment and so on. But yeah, I think you really hit the nail on the head. It's the emotional side of things, that mentally, that probably takes the longest to get used to. I can still walk down the street with my guide dog and I can have my smart device with me and all sorts, but I can't just look up and look at the names on the shops to find out where I'm going on street signs. You know, I have to rely on technology to do that, and sometimes it feels as if your independence has been taken away a little bit, although it's still there. But there's always still that little barrier that comes back just to niggle you now and again.
To me, you experienced it that at the moment. I haven't. Obviously, I'm using a cane, which I named it Michael Caine. So I use it all the time. But if the first initial point was using that cane was a mental block to me. It was really, really difficult me taking that out. But it was for my own safety and other people's safety to know that visually impaired person, you can't see very well, and assuming, you know, something else is wrong with him. So basically, you can't tell I'm visually impaired. So in that aspect, you train yourself, your mind works differently, your coordination is different, everything else is absolutely different. So you find a way. But the only way you're going to find a way is yourself. Yes, other people will support you. But I always say to people, independence is a major thing for me. Before once, and you want someone to pick you up, and one day you fall again and someone's not there, you're going to be left and you say, oh my God, what am I going to do? So you retrain yourself to cope on your own sometimes. Is that how you cope with life, losing your sight and things like that? Because that's the attitude that I've got, the positive.
Absolutely. You have to prove something to yourself that sight loss isn't going to get in the way. You know, you will find coping mechanisms, you will find other ways to do things. You know, you've got, as I say, the cane, you've got guide dogs, there's technology, there's all sorts out there. And it's just, I think, getting used to that and accepting that you can't do things the way you were, but it's not the end of things. You know, there's so much more out there that you can continually do, and you probably don't know about half the things that are there. So something like the Living with Sight Loss courses can really make a difference. And, you know, something you mentioned at the beginning as well, Benny, was speaking to your peers, so people who are blind or partially sighted and have been through all this. You know, that's the kind of people I want to hear from. I don't want perhaps someone who's sighted to tell me everything's going to be okay and here's what you can do. I think I would maybe like to hear it from people who've been through it themselves. Do you agree with that?
No, I totally agree, because I find it really frustrating. Mostly I'm coping, I'm trying to cope, and so my son understands them, my family doesn't understand. It's very, very difficult to get someone understanding in different ways of living sight loss courses, because they're thinking, hold on, how can he do that? If he can travel, he's not that blind then. He can do it, but like you said, they don't understand that, you know, vision impaired people can do things. I would say personally to myself on radio right now, my family do not understand. They haven't got a clue what people go through. They try to help you as much as you can. Sometimes they be my eyes, they can be, you know, my support, but unfortunately, it's very difficult for people to understand what you're going through mentally, because you actually mood swing goes up and down. Sometimes you're high up there and suddenly you come down and reality kicks in.
Do you think at the stage now, you're still on that sight loss journey, are you trying to prove to yourself, or do you think it's more important to prove to others that sight loss can be overcome, and, you know, there is a future there, there's things you can't do, but there's still a lot you can?
That's a very good question. I'm smiling while you asked me that question. Yeah, I think I am actually trying to prove myself I can do this on my own, and then prove to others or help others to overcome sight loss and say, look, if I can do it, you can do it. You know, give them the actual image kind of thing, you know, the positive or something positive, come on, look, this guy's, you know, vision impaired. And he's still doing, he still looks after himself, he still goes to the gym. Yes, there's frustration there, absolutely. I'll give you an example where I went to the hospital. I can only see arm length sometimes, but this time when I diluted my eye, I could only see, like, fingers. So basically, I couldn't see anything else, really cloudy and woozy and everything. So I said to the consultant how long that's going to take to go back to normal what I could see, and it gets 3 hours. I go, I'm not going to wait 3 hours. I thought to myself, this is a test to me, because my eye's going to go like that anyway, or worse. Let me see if I can use my cane, let's see if I can do this on my own, get a tram. And believe you me, it was so mentally draining and hard work, it was unbelievable. Just that moment for half an about an hour, 2 hours going into the city, it was absolutely a challenge in itself. But you know, when I've done that, I sat down in McDonald's, I've actually achieved what I wanted to achieve. I did what I wanted to do.
We often talk, Benny, about blind people or partially sighted people who, you know, climb mountains or drive cars or, you know, do skydives and so on. But sometimes, you know, as you've given an example there, the most challenging thing can be going out on your own, crossing a road and getting from A to B. But to look at that challenge as an accomplishment when you complete it, you know, it must sort of make you feel better about things and make you think, well, do you know what? If I can do that, I can do a little bit more the next time.
I met people who actually do things like climb mountains and do sport activities. Like myself, I'm qualified as a fitness instructor from the RNIB Connect team. I started doing gym buddy things. So from them course, from Lee Pick course, I had a gentleman named John who wanted to be my gym buddy, and I wanted to take him out and go to the gym. And he's doing that now, and he could not walk properly. Now he's walking freely. He's got more flexibility. I take my time out for helping others to achieve what they want to do. Now he goes independently in the gym, and he's vision impaired. It's a great feeling. It's free to see someone doing that and give you that satisfaction. It's an amazing feeling. You can't beat that.
Billy, there's other people out there going through what you've been. You're getting that diagnosis, that bombshell being dropped, and think there is no hope out there, or, you know, these courses, they won't work for me. What would you say to them?
I thought that as well, too, initially. You know, when you get the diagnosis and you say, oh my God, I'm going blind, you start feeling sorry for yourself. And then when you go to these courses and you relate to these courses, you get a lot of information. From that point, when you go in there, you think, what am I doing here? But gradually, when all the information sinks in, and all the knowledge you gain from other people's experiences, and then you go home, you sit down, it may not sink in for a week or two, because it didn't to me. But then I start relating to my illness, or my condition, should I say. And then start thinking positive. I thought to myself, you know what, I'm going to prove myself I can do this. I'm going to prove to others vision impaired people can do things as normal people can. That was my attitude. Like I said before, you go to a course, what do you want to achieve from that course? We can give you all the information, but at the end of the day, it's always an individual thing, isn't it? It's an individual person saying, you know what, I want to do this. We've got some challenges here. We've got some courses here to do, you know, crocheting, radios, or sports, walking. We have all these opportunities to help. But at the end of the day, it's up to your individual. If you want to be negative and stay at home and being sorry for yourself, fine. But you're not going to achieve anything, are you? You're not going to explore what you can do. It's unbelievable what you can achieve when you're vision impaired or people who are blind. Absolutely fantastic people I've met on courses, and still meeting them and still having the attitude of saying, you know what, this is not going to define me. And I believe you, me, to all the people who are listening there, it's an amazing experience, and you're going to get a lot of information out of it, no doubt. If you don't, you can phone me up.
Great to hear that Mohammed really did get a lot from the course. It sounds as if he's still on that journey as well, but giving peer-to-peer support too, so helping others as he goes. Now, if people would like to learn more about the courses or take part, or they may know someone who would benefit from these, how do they get in touch?
Contact us on the following number, which is 0300 123 3933, or they can email us at livingwithsightlossinquiries@rnib.org.uk. Now, the spelling for Living with Sight Loss Inquiries is LWSL, and then the word inquiries, all one word, at rnib.org.uk.
Let's hope many people do take up the courses. They make a huge amount of difference, as we've heard. But for them, went to Ben and to Benny. Thanks to both of you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for having me.